Welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where we're talking to Nikki Hesford from Nikki Hesford Business Academy about getting to grips with Facebook advertising. Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast. My name's John Tromans. I'm a digital marketing trainer in the UK and the host of this pod. Before we get going, just want to quickly mention that you can find lots of links and information in the show notes. And if you enjoy this episode, then subscribe for free on iTunes and Spotify or your favourite podcasting app. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. There's lots of links and a full transcript of the pod at jtid.co.uk/podcasts/Facebook-ads. Joined today by Nikki Hesford from the Nikki Hesford Business Academy, who provides marketing support and advice for startups. Hiya, Nikki. Thanks for giving up some of your time.
Oh, no problem.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I am a digital marketer. I specialise in Facebook pay-per-click paid advertising, as well as obviously marketing PR and other sort of types of social media. So we're a marketing agency, and we also run training events for small businesses to learn how to do their own marketing as well. Because for quite a lot of the time, for your small beauty salons and small businesses, they don't know how to do it themselves, but they also don't have the budget for a retainer, because that might be anywhere from £200 a month up to thousands a month. So the academy runs events which shows those businesses how to do it themselves.
I think Facebook ads is one of those things where you can kind of lose yourself in it, can't you? It can chew up pretty much all of your day when you're looking at all the different features and functionalities.
Yeah, and they're bringing out new stuff all the time, and as well, you know, even things that we don't, you know, they'll be there one day and not there the next, or appear out of nowhere. Like not so long ago, you used to only be able to have Facebook page admin, so that's a really good category for anybody who's doing business to business. And then out of nowhere, they suddenly separated it into health and beauty admins and community page admins, and it just appeared out of nowhere. So even us who do it all of the time discover new things every day.
So why should we advertise on Facebook? Silly question, really, I suppose. But also, is it just good for business to consumer, or is it any good for business to business as well?
Yeah, I get asked that all the time, especially on LinkedIn. A lot of people say, oh yeah, it's great if you're selling, you know, birthday cakes or something, or wedding items, but it's no good for me. I'm an accountant or I'm a bookkeeper. And that is so not true, because a lot of people don't realise that of the retargeting aspect of Facebook advertising. So you can retarget your own website traffic. So we have people who do like R&D tax credits and, you know, engineering and really quite specific things like refrigeration in warehouses. Like, you know, nobody's going to be sat there on Facebook randomly searching for it or looking for it. But those managing directors or ops directors or whoever it might be who has the buying power to buy from those businesses might be looking at their website in the daytime, and then come the evening they're sat watching X Factor on the couch scrolling through Facebook, and then that ad reappears. So and that's done obviously through the pixel on Facebook, so it's retargeting your own website traffic. Cool. And that's where it really comes into its own for B2B.
Right. So simply put, if somebody goes on, if I went on a website, I don't know, looking for some, I don't know, used packing machinery. There we go. I had a client selling, yep, used packing machinery a couple of years ago. And that was a work thing. And then I was sat on my couch and I was watching something on telly and browsing through Facebook. You can actually have ads appear in the feed to do with, yeah, what you were looking at work.
Absolutely, yeah. And you can do it quite specifically. So say that you know, packing machine, there was two different types of packing machine A and packing machine B, and you've been looking at packing machine B. Your advert that you saw when you're watching X Factor that night would specifically be, they could set it so that it was packing machine B. So you've probably seen these ads before yourself, where you've looked for a pair of shoes on ASOS or a dress or whatever it might be, and then, you know, you've been waylaid because the phone rang, or one of your kids were shaving their eyebrows off or something, and you've gone off, and then a few hours later, a few days later, you've been on Facebook and it's gone, so you're looking at those shoes, here, 10% off, buy them now. And you remember that you were looking at them, and sometimes it even has you know, an extra discount or a discount code or a call to action to complete that purchase now, to get you back in that funnel. And it's the same, businesses can utilize that for business to business as well. And obviously, if you've only got a very, very small amount of web traffic, then how much you can leverage it is limited. But the more your web traffic, we've got some business to business ones who get like 10,000 hits a month, and they do really well out out of it. Whereas obviously if you've got a website that only gets 100 people a month, then you might have to concentrate on building your web traffic first.
So how does this basically work? We're kind of like looking at what, four different sections really. We're looking at kind of like audience, content, budget and live, and we have to go through this in order. So the first one, I suppose, is looking at your audience. How specific do we have to get when we create an audience to target?
I guess it depends. Obviously, the more specific you get, the more you're going to pay. And that's in direct contradiction of anybody who's used to doing Google ads. Because obviously with Google, the more long-tailed your keywords are normally, the less that you pay. So anybody who's been used to doing Google ads will perhaps be forgiven for thinking that the more generic it is, the more they're going to pay, and the more specific, the cheaper it's going to be. It's the opposite. The opposite is true on Facebook. So the more generic, if I just say, you know, anybody in England who's male age 18 to 40, that's going to be really, really cheap. Whereas if I say that I want somebody who is female between age of 30 and 35, who has a child who's age 0 to 2 and they travel internationally quite frequently a year, that's, I'm being pretty specific there. I'm going to pay quite a lot for that person. However, I might be happy to pay a lot for it because I feel the more relevant and that the conversion rate is going to be so much higher that I'm prepared to pay it. So it depends on your particular business. You know, if you've got a business where actually they don't need to be that specific, like if you're selling iPads, in generally speaking, anybody could potentially buy an iPad. Whereas if you were selling, I don't know, swimwear, really expensive high-end swimwear, which is for a certain age of person, then you would want to be more specific with it.
So what sort of targeting options do we get? How can we work with this? I mean, how do you create an audience that's targeted to your niche?
There are so many options, but if we're talking about this, so there's core targeting, which is obviously the most basic way of doing it, which is where you would select. So you might want to select people like by gender, by age, by demographic, by interests, by behaviours, whether they like dogs, whether they like cats. There's so many, you know, ways that you can target that way, and that's obviously core targeting. So that's when you don't have any pixel or website traffic to rely on. If you want to get a little bit more sophisticated with it, then you can obviously do website retargeting or what we call custom audience through a CSV file. So some people have really huge databases, email databases. So if you've got 10,000 people on an email database, you can upload that into Facebook and then target them. So that might be existing customers who haven't contacted you for a while, somebody who used to be a really good customer 2 years ago, but you don't hear much from them anymore. That could be a really good way of stimulating that again.
And this is where Facebook gets a little bit creepy, isn't it? With the different targeting options. How accurate is it?
So in terms of email, they reckon that the match rate is about 60%. So obviously you might have their business email address, but they use the personal email address for Facebook, so they can't always match it. And of course not everybody even has a Facebook account, so it's not always going to be a 100% match, but I found it to be pretty accurate. Facebook knows a lot more than probably what most of us even appreciate that they know. It's unbelievable. I've done seminars where people say, you know, I've not put my relationship status on my Facebook. How does it know that I'm single? Why does it keep targeting me with ads for dating sites? And I said, oh, can I just have a look at your phone for a minute? And I look at the phone and they've got Tinder downloaded and Match.com downloaded as apps. Every time you download an app, you're telling Facebook, you're usually logging in with your Facebook. So you're telling Facebook, you know, if you're interested in Tinder or Match, chances are that you're probably single, hopefully.
Yeah. It gets a little bit creepy at times, doesn't it? When you set up an audience on Facebook, you get this little needle thing that goes broad or niche or something like that. Does it matter? I mean, does it really matter?
Again, I think it depends. Like, for example, for me, if I'm wanting to get business owners onto one of my marketing events, then if I went really, really broad, chances are I'm probably going to waste a lot of money. I'm going to get a really low click-through rate because 90% of the general population are going to be regular employees who don't work in a marketing capacity. So I need to filter that down to people who I have a general idea that they probably own a business or work in marketing. Whereas, again, if you're selling something like, I don't know, bags of sweets or something, where in theory anybody could buy a bag of sweets, anybody could buy chocolate, anybody has the potential to need to buy a gift. So, you know, but if you're selling wedding dresses, for example, you know, you're not going to, how many people are engaged and actively looking for a wedding dress? If you've marketed it to every single woman age 18 to 40, the vast majority of them are not going to be engaged and are not going to be actively looking for a wedding dress. So in that instance, you're only going to want to be targeting somebody who is engaged and it can get even more specific than that. So say you were a wedding dress business, you can not only target somebody who's engaged, but how long they've been engaged. So engaged for less than 6 months, engaged for more than a year, engaged for more than 2 years. And you know from your own experience at what point in that engagement journey they start to make those purchases, hence why they've given you that option. Because if you know that people get engaged and they run out and get the wedding dress straight away, or do you know that they get engaged and then right near, closer to the day, that's when they go and get the wedding dress?
Gotcha. Right. So we got our audience sorted out. I suppose the next stage is to create an advert. So can we just put a graphic and a little bit of text, buy our stuff now, 10% off, buy now?
I guess you can do, but the next step is actually the placements and the ad set, which is kind of the placements is a really important part, because it'll be set to automatic placements as a default. Most people just leave it as the default option, but that means that you're going to be paying for your advert to be put in the more cheaper inventory areas. So that might be audience network, Instagram, instant articles, in-stream videos. Now you may want, if you want more relevant traffic, you might want to remove some of those placements. I would always remove audience network.
Okay, so basically you can choose as to whether to have your ad showing all over Facebook and Instagram, yep, or just in specific places.
Absolutely. So you might only want it on the mobile newsfeed, or you might only want it on Facebook Messenger, or you might only want it on Instagram, or you might not want it on Instagram at all. So you get a choice of about 15 or 16 different placements, and some of them people aren't even aware exist. So that's obviously the first part. And then obviously the second part is your budget. So do you want it to run daily, just ongoing until you stop it? Do you want to set a start and a finish date? If you're the sort of person who's going to set it continuously, go on holiday, forget, come home and realize you spent a load of money, then you know, have a start and finish date for it. I have mine running continuously, but that's because I check them quite frequently. And then there's obviously whether or not you're going to be pets. Most of them you have to pay by CPM, per impressions, but there are a couple where you can pay by click, pay per click rather than impressions. So they're the other bits as well that you might want to look at. And then obviously you move to your creative, which is your, you know, the ad.
Yeah. What type of content tends to work best? Is it because I know you can't have a lot of text in an image, can you? But you can have things like video on there if you wanted to.
Yeah. So it's, anything more than 20% of text and it'll get flagged up and it won't reach as many people. But, you know, there's not really any reason to have a lot of text in your video or in your picture, because it's hopefully going to be in the text above it. Video is always going to be cheaper. Video is by far the best way of doing your Facebook advertising. Facebook, you know, wants to take on YouTube. It wants to be the king of video. So it will reward you with better results if you're giving it video, feeding it with video. So I'd always try and go for video if possible. It doesn't have to be anything high tech. I do mine with my mobile phone, literally with the camera reversed, holding it in one hand and literally talking into it. Nothing high tech, no camera studios or anything like that. Dead simple, dead easy. And then obviously, you know, you obviously write your text above it. What a lot of people aren't aware is that you can't put your emojis in the text unless you copy and paste it from elsewhere. So if anybody's tried to sim people with emojis and gone, how do they do that? Because I can't seem to manage it. You have to write your post on your normal Facebook feed, copy and then paste it into the box.
Right, got you. So talking about the videos for a second, I was doing some work with them. I do quite a lot of work in the fashion industry. And one of the things I see a lot of companies doing now is creating like 15-second adverts based on just one product. So one item of clothing, one dress, one pair of trousers, one pair of shoes, something like that. And they're literally just snappy little short 15-second video ads. Does this sort of thing really work well?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for Instagram stories. I think it was ASOS that reported like a 30% uplift in the space of a few months just by using Instagram stories. And obviously they have to be a maximum of 15 seconds. That's obviously why they're quite short. And I guess previously people used to stick a carousel up with 5, 6, 7, 8 different products and kind of hope that the user liked one of them. But businesses and fashion e-commerces are now going for a more sniped approach and going, okay, this is one dress. We feel pretty confident that this is a really great dress. Our sales say so, our PR say so, our other efforts are telling us this is a good product. We're going to rely on it, trust it, and do a short video and put that out there. And that's working really, really well. There's a company called Silkthread and they're doing it really well.
Okay. And should we run one ad or more than than one ad at a time?
I guess it depends on your budget. So if you're a really, really tiny, tiny little business and you've only got like £30 a month or something to spend, then you probably can't afford to run more than one ad, because most of them have a minimum ad set of £5 a day. So if you've only got like 30 quid or so, then you're going to run out of money after a few days. If you've got a bigger budget into the hundreds, then, you know, you should definitely have multiple ad sets. So, for example, if you were selling iPads, just say that was your business, you might want to have one ad set, which is for like young people going off to university, and you might want another ad set for like pensioners. And you're not going to have the same message in both of those adverts. So for your young person who's going off to university, your text and your video might be like, look what you can do with, you know, when you go to university, you can download this, you can download that. If it's for somebody older, you might want to say, oh, you can watch the news from in bed, you can talk to your grandkids. So the message is going to be slightly different in terms of who your audience is. And so you want to hit as many audiences as possible.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier on in the year who sells laptops, and they say that they target retirees, anybody over, mm-hmm. say, the age of 60 years old with laptops in August, because they see a massive uptick in grandparents buying kids' laptops to go to university.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Facebook advertising, a huge amount of it is psychology and understanding sort of behavioural psychology. And I always say this in my seminars, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, other people are probably doing it too. So if every Saturday night you sit there watching X Factor with your husband or your wife, and you're watching it, but you're not really watching it because you're scrolling through Facebook and you're sort of half listening, half not, other people are probably doing the same thing too. If you get up first thing in the morning and before you get out of bed and have a shower, you scroll through Facebook, scroll through LinkedIn, have a quick look on Twitter, check your email, then get out of bed, chances are everyone else is too. So understand the behaviour of other people and then create your ads to kind of leverage that.
Let's move on to budget and about paying for all this. We can pay CPM, CPC, CPR, dear Lord. Yeah, so CPM is cost per thousand.
Yes, so that, yeah, they're your, yeah. Well, it's actually the cost per mile, so that's obviously per thousand. So the vast majority, the only campaign objective that won't charge you CPM is the traffic one, the traffic objective. Right. So if you choose a traffic objective, you can change that to CPC, but the rest of them are impressions.
Okay, so the CPM is basically just impressions, how many times somebody sees my advert. It has nothing to do with clicks or anything like that.
Yeah, right. So yeah, literally you could have 10,000 people see it and not a single person take action, but you're still going to pay for that.
Sure. CPC, which is the cost per click, which is self-explanatory, you pay basically when somebody clicks on the advert.
Yeah, and I tend to use that more often than anything else, because especially for smaller budgets, because smaller budgets, you know, want to see some kind of traction before they start paying for it. So, you know, you're only paying when somebody clicks. Okay, there's no guarantee that they'll convert or carry on further after that, but at least they've expressed some kind of interest. And you can also pay per engagement, PPE, which is obviously an engagement one, which is when somebody likes it, comments on it. That can mislead people a little bit, because you pay even when somebody clicks to read more. So if you've got loads of text and somebody's clicked read more and they've expanded it open to read some more of it, Facebook will charge you for that, even though they haven't actually left any trace of themselves.
And the final one, I suppose, is the CPA, the cost per action. Like, I suppose if somebody fills in a lead generation form.
Yes. So lead gen, I do quite a lot of lead gen ads, and they work really, really well for certain types of businesses like recruitment, who are looking for, you know, people looking for jobs, marketers who are looking for retainer type work, those sorts of things, business coaches. They work really well. You sort of pay, you know, sort of per, you get charged, it's per lead. So it'll, you know, you'll, after a few days, it'll be like your average is £1.96 per lead, or, and they're not always going to be the same. You know, you might get one person who's £1.96 and then the next person is £7.10, but it'll just give you an average over the course of your entire campaign. And so you keep an eye on those. If you're going to run those, it's better to separate out your ad sets. So for example, I've got one lead gen, one running at the moment, and my 18 to 30s male is costing way, way more than my 30 to 45 year old male. It's literally like four times the price. So I've now, because I've separated those two ad sets, I've now got the option to switch one off but keep the other one running. Whereas if I'd amalgamated them all together into one big ad set, 18 to 40, I'd be stuck with the poor performing parts as well as the good performing parts, which is why it's better to separate the two out sometimes.
Sure, got you. So this is where you create like in the Facebook ad manager thing, you create like a campaign, and then you can create multiple ad sets, and you can have multiple ads within the different ad set, and you can target all the different ad sets and ads, all the different things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a digital marketing day in January, so I might have like for my ad sets, I might have business page owners, female, business page owners, male, outside of my area, 18 to 30, outside of my area, 40 to 45, like so many different, some will be retargeted. Some will be LinkedIn, so you can obviously retarget the email addresses out of LinkedIn. I might have like 10 different ad sets running at the same time. You do have to be careful of overlap though, so sometimes you can obviously have one overlap in the other, and you don't want, you're essentially in a race against yourself, then you're competing against yourself and you're bidding against yourself. So just be mindful, a little bit of overlap's okay, but just make sure that you've not got like 10 ad sets that are all overlapping each other.
Sure. And can we set limits as well, or is this, because I mean, I've seen people who haven't set limits with Google AdWords before, and they've had a bill. So can we set limits with Facebook and say, I don't want to spend more than this a day, or more than this a month, or a campaign, or whatever?
Yeah, so you can set a budget, a limit on your ad account. So it might be, you know, it'll stop everything, or send you a notification where it gets £100 or £50 or £1,000 or whatever. When you very first start out, it'll be really low anyway to start with. When you've got a brand new ad account and you've not spent anything on it before, Facebook literally won't allow you to spend more than about £40 before it'll invoice you. You clear the invoice, and if that payment goes through correctly and it's all okay, they might, you know, they'll let you carry on. So it'll start off quite small, and then as your ad account matures, they'll raise your credit limit, kind of a little bit like a credit card.
Okay, so when we put all this live, we've created our audience, we've got a nice looking little video ads going, we've decided how much we want to spend, we want to put it live and everything. What's the best way to actually monitor the results?
It depends on type of campaign and what your objectives are, but obviously you want to be looking at you know, sort of cost per click. I would like to hope that people will be using it with analytics as well, and keeping an eye on the Google Analytics and the behaviour, and setting the tag so that you can see which campaign it's come from. But yeah, it's, you know yourself obviously, whether or not you're getting sales from it. Often with my clients, I kind of take the view that whatever their cost of the goods is, anything, you know, as long as they've covered the cost of goods and they're not making a loss, I'm kind of happy with that for a first sale. Because a lot of them take them, especially in fashion, a lot of the first sales are a loss leader. Some companies are happy to take a loss leader for the first one. For example, beauty salons. You know, if you've got somebody coming in for a beauty salon, which is a set of nails that costs £20, but their margin on it is £10, but they might spend £20 acquiring that customer. So they might have lost £10 by acquiring that customer, but nails need doing every 2 weeks. So, you know, and then they might come in and they go, oh, you do lashes and you do brows and you do this and you do that. So it's the lifetime value of that customer. So everybody, you know, everybody has a different way of measuring it. It's a little bit difficult to say, because you might be happy to do a loss leader, but there's a lot of business B2B who do like an initial assessment phone call, like a loss leading kind of, you know, phone call of giving some free advice to begin with. So yeah, it's all down to the down to that business and down to the margin as well.
And you mentioned Google Analytics. We can connect all this up to Google Analytics and presumably track things through to goals, like somebody's filled in a form or cut a lead generation form on a website or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, everybody should most definitely be using Google Analytics, because you want to see, you know, what pages people, you know, I might have landed people on my digital marketing day in Preston, but they might have then gone on to have a look at a digital marketing day in like Leeds or something. So actually it might be that they were actually a little bit closer to Leeds than what they were to Preston. So I can see, you know, to be able to see where people are coming from, where they're exiting. If I've got one page that everyone's exiting on, I often find that a lot of people come through on an ad, then they go to my blog, and there's certain blogs, two or three blog topics that everybody keeps reading over and over again. So that kind of gives me a little bit of insight into what problems people are having. So I've got one particular one, which is like the 5 things you're doing wrong with Facebook ads, and everybody always goes to that one. So that's telling me that everybody's got a few issues. There's the same issues that everybody's having all the time. So or there's another one that's, why does your ad keep getting disapproved and rejected by Facebook? So the fact that so many people keep going there suggests to me that everybody's had disapprovals, where they're scratching their head going, I don't understand why this has been rejected.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be able to spot patterns of behaviour in people. I certainly know when people land on one of my training pages, if they go to either the podcast page next, or they go to the Meet John page, the About Me page next, then I reckon about 85-90% certain then that I'm going to get a lead generated. Somebody's going to fill in a form. So you then, the goal then is to try and make it really, really easy for people to hit those two pages, because those are the two pages that are building the authority.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's obviously when your internal links become quite important. So when I've got an event page, if I'm talking about like, I know, boosting posts, for example, I say, you know, you've probably been boosting posts in your business and that's why you're looking at this. And then I'll have the, you know, read here why, the 10 reasons why you shouldn't be boosting posts. So then I'll be, you know, they're already warm. I'll make sure that that blog opens in a new box. I don't want to take them out of the event page that they're already in, but I might need to reaffirm my authority and credibility of how much I know with that post, just to secure them further down the line. So yeah, it's making sure that your internal links on your page, any external links as well to, you know, any PR that you've had or anything, again, any award winning, anything that, you know, further reaffirms your authority, especially somewhere in marketing where, you know, there's so many marketers out there. As a business, if you're looking to hire a marketer, it must be so difficult. It's like web designers are saying, you know, I must know 50 web designers and I've no idea which one's the best out of them. Yeah. And I'm sure that they probably feel very much the same about me as marketing. They probably go, I know 50 people who do social media and marketing and I've no idea which one knows the stuff and which one doesn't.
And I suppose we're connecting all these ads up to Google Analytics, you can figure out which ads are working the best. And because a lot of the time you might be generating quite a bit of traffic through a specific ad, but you might not be generating many sales through that ad.
Absolutely. So yeah, sometimes, so that's one of the reasons why people often switch off Instagram as one of their placements, because historically, generally speaking, most people for Instagram tends to get a lot of traffic, but not a lot of conversion. So sometimes you'd like the mobile news feed, you're going to pay more for the mobile news feed as a placement than other placements because it's more valuable as inventory. But because people know that the click through rate and then the conversion rate from it is so much higher, the return on ad spend is so much higher from those that are happy to pay it. So always keep an eye on, you don't look at an ad and go, oh wow, I've had like, you know, 1,000 people click through to this and each one only cost me 2p each. That's all very well and good as long as they're buying or they're converting at the end of it, if they're coming, looking and leaving. However, having said that, it depends on your funnel. So you might have a top funnel. So it's purely awareness. You know that people are going to come in, look and leave. And you know that because your plan is to retarget them with ads further down the funnel. It's just purely top funnel stuff. So I do that with my blog. My blog is kind of top funnel stuff. I will write a blog which might be, like, say, 5 big mistakes you're making with Facebook or whatever it might be. And I know that those people are going to come to my website, read the first 2 paragraphs probably, and then leave. And that's okay, because I just want them to have a little bit of familiarity over who I am and what I do, so that in a couple of weeks' time when I retarget them with ads, then I'm going to have it's going to be a slightly warmer audience further down the funnel.
Fascinating chatting about this. Maybe you can come back in a couple of months' time or something and talk more about pixels and audiences and things like that, because I find it quite fascinating.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for your time, Nikki. Appreciate it. Tell me where we can find you.
Yeah, so I am, as you can probably imagine, I'm Nikki Hesford Business Academy on Facebook. My obviously website address is nikkihesford.co.uk. I'm on Twitter, or on Instagram under my name, or on LinkedIn. So feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or like my page and leave me a comment to let me know that you've heard me on this podcast.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Nikki. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks, John.
If you've enjoyed this pod or found it useful, then don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your favourite podcast app. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. I'd also love it if you'd leave a quick review as well, as reviews really help the pod get found a little easier. And you can find more podcasts at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Thanks for listening.